going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. One day away from the NFL draft. We'll talk plenty of draft throughout the show today. We also will have our guy Jay Binkley in studio in the 1 o'clock hour. He's been joining us each and every Wednesday the last couple weeks leading up to the start of the draft. They came out with their final mock draft a couple days ago. And of course, we've got our draft party tomorrow night at the Landing in Liberty. And Bink and Chris Unocero will be anchoring our coverage from that, hosting throughout the entire evening until the end of the first round, and we cannot wait to see all of you up there. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
We'll give you a Jack Watch coming up here in just a few, but as we told you today, if you have ordered your tickets, is your last chance to get a properly sized shirt if you're going on the road trip. So if you have ordered your tickets to head down to Springfield on May 3rd, shoot us a text, 913-586-7965. We can text you that link for this shirt purchase. And if you are thinking about getting tickets, no better time than right now. Again, we'll get you the actual stats than what's taking place. You can go to 965thefan.com to find out more.
Let's talk about the big league club here, though. Let's go ahead and get into that, and we can get to the road trip and the latest on that, which, of course, is scheduled for Saturday, May 3rd. Last night turned out to be one of the wilder games of the entire season. It was teetering on the worst loss of the
entire season. I was
going to
come here so mad. Like, I was just prepared to be mad based on how that game was ending. Especially after Mikel got caught at second. You're like, no! And then they didn't score in the 10th. You're like, why? It's just like everything was building up.
Look, let's be real. Was not the finest display of baseball last night by either team at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals, most importantly, did get the win. They've won two in a row. They are in position to guarantee a series win with a victory tonight against the Rockies. But it did have everything, man. Let's start with Drew Waters and what he was able to do, and then get into Freddie Freeman and, of course, Carlos Estevez and what unfortunately happened to him in the ninth inning with walk after walk after walk, and his worst outing as a member of the Kansas City Royals. Drew Waters has a career night, though. Drew Waters ends up with a career night for the Royals, and now if you go back the last couple of games, other than Bobby, basically, he's been the hottest hitter on the team. Now, you can say that's not saying much on a team that's worst offense, second to worst offense in baseball right now, but maybe that's something to keep an eye on the rest of this week. And moving forward, we already knew, of course, with MJ Melendez being sent down, Drew Waters is going to have every opportunity to play here for a bit. He played a ton on the road trip anyway, and all of a sudden the bat for at least a couple games on a road now has come alive. We know they need anybody to contribute in that fashion. I thought that was a real positive to see from Drew Waters in particular. Without him, offensively, they had nothing else going. So until Freddie had the walk-off hit in the bottom of the 11th.
No, I mean, it was just Drew Waters. And look, I've been critical of Drew Waters because for the most part, in the time he's been up in the big leagues, I would just say it's not been an overwhelming display, right? I haven't been like, yeah, there's the former first-round pick. And we understand that that's where he was coming from originally. There's the former first-round pick, and the Royals unlocked the keys to the car the way that they had done that with some of the pitching guys they have traded for. And when he first came up, he once again did not look like some all-world beater. But occasionally, and this is how it works at the bottom of the order, I don't need you to be Bobby Wood Jr. every day. I just need you to have a day. Yesterday, Drew Waters had a day. When the rest of the offense wasn't available, he was, and he had his single best game as a member of the Kansas City Royals. I mean, he's hit a homer, he's got a treble, or triple, he's got, you know, he's reliable for the game-winning runs, what they needed him to do. I mean, he did every conceit other than, and that would be nitpicking, the at-bat that he struck out in the 10th. Other than the one, and again, I'm not nitpicking, it's not worth it. He had contributed too much to that win to be like, hey, but could you do one more thing? At least in that, could you have been perfect instead of great is essentially what you'd be asking there. I was Drew Waters and Freddie Fermin. I hope woke up this morning feeling awesome about the contribution they made to the Royals win yesterday, because they contributed more than all of the players you would anticipate doing it, other than Chris Bubich, who was probably the single biggest contributor because he went seven shutout innings.
Yeah, Chris Bubich was stellar again. This is not a fluke with what he's been able to do now. This is multiple outings going back to last year when he came in and made his 2024 debut against the Colorado Rockies in Colorado. Remember, at that point in time, it was just a relief outing. And now in this rotation, he's a legitimate number three starter for this baseball team. And that's never the starting pitching has never been questioned here to begin the season. It has always been about the offense. And then do they have enough in the bullpen to get it done? And last night, for a while, it looked like this was going to be a 1-0 game. They get the insurance run. And then we all know what happened in the ninth inning with Carlos Estevez, who had his worst outing as a member of the Kansas City Royals. This is somebody that had, out of the previous 9 wins, right? They now have 10, but they had 9 wins heading into last night. He had 1 win himself, and he had 5 saves. Last night, had no control after getting the first 2 outs. Back-to-back-to-back walks. And you were looking at the scenario there. Should they have maybe have pulled him after walking 3 in a row at that point in time? I'll listen to that argument. I think if you're Mac Quattrero, right after the third walk, you're probably thinking, look, he's our closer. We're gonna stick with him. He's a veteran. He can get out of the spot. But last night he just didn't have it. He simply didn't have it. I'll say this. I already saw the first text. I knew we were gonna get that already. 913-586-7965 about Carlos and should he be the closer. It is
after one bad outing?
Outing. Someone said it should be Lucas Erceg. Look, I love Lucas Erceg as well. Lucas Erceg is legit. He is somebody that they trust in the high leverage spots, whether it's the 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th, to go and get outs. Carlos Estevez, I just mentioned 5 saves, 1 win, heading into last night. This was his worst outing of the season, and maybe his only really bad outing of the season. So if you're telling me that you don't want to be a closer after last night, that means you didn't want to be the closer to begin with. And that's fine, right? That's your prerogative. But that means last night was not why you don't want to be a closer. You didn't want to be a closer to begin with.
Period. And
if you're changing after one outing, I'm sorry. Like, if he has 3 more bad outings, then yeah, we can have a conversation, right? But I feel like, Cody, this could have happened a month from now, and that same text would come in. He could have 7 more consecutive outings after this one now where he's perfect. And then on the 8th one, if he screws up, people say he shouldn't be the closer. We got to get rid of the mindset, though, that the closers have 0.0 ERAs and that they are perfect. Hell, look at Emmanuel Clase, who was the best closer in baseball for 2 straight years. Look how the start of his season is going. It is crazy to me. Are we doing this all over again? Like last year? We're doing the whole thing again?
Yeah, and I guess part of this is just... I'm not saying he can't have an emotional reaction to a team, because that's pretty common.
Someone says the 1 win is because he blew a save. No, it's not. He had a 2-inning outing over the weekend on Sunday, as a matter of fact. So no, it's not because he blew a save. He pitched 2 innings on Sunday. He snapped the losing streak.
I think he got the no decision in the blown save, for what it's worth, in a game that I think they eventually lost. So, like, I'm not saying...
Someone says, I'm sorry, guys. I knew this was going to happen. It drives me crazy because I saw it last night as well. His other outings have not been sweat-free. Didn't say they were sweat-free. Again, nobody is claiming he's the best closer in all of baseball, that he's going to be perfect. I'm sorry, our expectations for the team can be high, can be to win the division, all that. That's real. I'm sorry, you have an unrealistic expectation for a closer in 2025 if you think they are going to have a 0 ERA. You can say, like,
like Emmanuel Clase from last year. They would also like Wade Davis in the World Series.
I would like Mariano Rivera as my closer as well. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, this stuff pisses me off right out of the gate, because I saw it last night and we're 5 minutes into the show and I knew this was going to happen immediately. I'm sorry, you have an unrealistic expectation if after one outing last night you think he shouldn't be the closer, and if you're just not happy with his performance so far this season.
He has pitched in now 10 games for the Kansas City Royals this year. He has given up a run in 2 of them. That's it. Every other outing, he went two scoreless outings, gave up a single run. He took the loss in that game when he had blown a save against Milwaukee. Then he had just gone scoreless all the way until, he gave up a run in that. That ended up being a blown save, even though the runner was already on second. Technically, it wasn't even an earned run. He didn't give him an earned run until April 7th. He waited three more weeks, and then he gave up three earned runs last night. He was bad. And
Of course he was bad last night.
The bigger part is I would have pulled him at the third walk because he got the first two outs, and then he just lost his command, and it was pretty clear he was not going to throw a strike unless it was going to be in the heart of the plate, which he eventually did, and then the double led to it. But I'm with you in this. I'm not saying there's never a time to question a player.
Yeah, let's see. If he has two more bad outings here over the next four or five, then yeah, let's have a conversation. I'm just saying if after one outing, and some of you are saying it's not just one outing. Again, if you're saying that he needs to be 1-2-3 every single time as a closer, again, unrealistic expectation. Someone says
0.91 ERA going into the game.
Someone says, hey, Gold, Urseg is just better. Debate that. Okay, if we're just arguing like who should be closer, go back to when we had HDH in this town. You guys remember for, I think it was 14, maybe I got 14, 15 messed up. Greg Holland was not the quote-unquote better pitcher than Wade Davis. But guess who closed at times? And actually, that entire season.
I guess the argument is not
Wade Davis.
The argument is that I'm not even getting in the debate about whether or not who you think is the better pitcher. Because you could make the argument for Urseg. That's not in the debate that I feel like I need to have right now. The argument is, I want Urseg's ability to be available as the true fireman and Estevez to be available in the ninth. Like, that's just, I want them to have the order that they're doing. And I just, part of it is not pretending like you don't want Urseg to close. It's pretending like Estevez stinks. He doesn't stink. He's quite the opposite of that. He's really good, actually. Most teams would prefer to have him on their team. That's the part I don't understand. But this goes to the same thing. Last week, I had someone texting seriously into the show saying they should send down Vinny Pasquantino to AAA, hit Jack Caglione third. And I'm just like, I'm sorry if you're listening. You're an idiot if you genuinely believe that. That's a stupid take and you're a stupid person. Like, that's it. Okay. Like, you can have a stance on baseball or you could just have an idiotic stance that makes zero sense in this world. Like, I could come on today and be like, Kyle Wright should be their number one. Bench Reagans. I can say whatever I want. None of those things would make any sense. That'd make the same sense as sending Vinny Pasquantino down to AA and trading him out for whoever they got in single A ball. It's crazy. Some takes are crazy. You don't have to say but if your take is Estevez stinks, you're just wrong, I think. That's just wrong, factually incorrect statement. Yep. You could say you don't want him to close. I'd probably just leave it there.
If you were ready to make that jump after last night, it doesn't make a lot of sense. People were on the ledge last night.
And look, they won the game. Could you imagine how much worse it would be if they lost?
Well, it should have been. That would have been the worst loss of the season if they would have blown that. Because he was bad, to say the least, in the ninth inning. Then Mikel Garcia, as great as he's been the start of the season, bad base running error, right? You know, this is stuff that is flat out bad baseball. And for a while, it looked like it was two teams that are bad baseball teams playing bad baseball. Yeah, I mean, that's what
Royals,
it was.
Base running errors. Royals were walking everybody. It was sloppy.
They found a way to get it done. Thank you, Freddie Fermin. That throw to third base, by the way, to pick off what's his name?
I don't remember who it was now.
Starts with an M.
But played it was electric.
Played for the Angels a year ago. Oh, my gosh.
I don't remember who got picked off.
He's playing center field for the Rockies. It's going to drive me crazy. Whatever. He picked him off.
Moniak,
I think.
Okay.
Great throw. And then, of course, the walk-off hit in the extras. So thank you very much.
Did you see it's like a really subtle moment. But did you see the small moment? So right before Freddie was going to talk to the crowd, Bobby on the live mic was like, hey, man, make sure you thank Kansas City fans. You're like, look at Bobby. Just doing a little coaching on the side, just letting him know what to anticipate. Look, I'm not saying they're going on a 5-game winning streak. They've still got problems as a team. Offense,
of course, yes,
the most notable.
And that's probably because we're all frustrated still with an offense that is not hitting.
It's awful.
If another area that's been a strength for you all year, pitching, has one moment where they lapse. Now we're like, we overcompensate. I think that's honestly what's happening because we're still very, very frustrated. And we know that this offense is not good enough to get to where they need to be. And you're trying still, like, you know, look, while the offense is trying to figure out, I don't know about you guys, I'd rather them find ways to win games in any fashion. And that's what they did last night against a bad Rockies team. But you don't apologize for that. I'd rather them be winning while they're trying to figure it out than not. So tonight, they got another chance against the Rockies. They still count as the same wins last time I checked. The Rockies aren't 0.1 wins, and they still do count as full wins.
Yeah, it was a lot more nerve-wracking than I wanted it to be. Look, I was on the same spot everyone else was. When Estevez, when they gave up the 3-run double, it's like you couldn't even just give up the single, dude. You couldn't
He was bad last night.
It was like, oh. And then when they didn't score in the 10th, they get that pickoff. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, you survived it. Problem solved. And then when Drew Waters struck out, I'm like, uh-oh. They didn't score in the 10th. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because that goes back to the bullpen. It's any time – bullpen stuff is really tough because any time the most recent outing for you is a bad one, people are ready to just jump off. Because I bet there's someone who thinks that Daniel Lynch should be closing for this team. And I think Daniel Lynch should be pitching in high-leverage situations. I do not think he should be the everyday closer. Even though he was great last night, helped him win the game, helped him close out the game. He did his job, no question about it. He's been one of their best relievers. But I think the way Davis Holland won is probably the most interesting one. Sometimes even the best pitcher for me, for years, the Cleveland Guardians, they were then the Indians at the time, they had probably the best relief pitcher in all of baseball. They did not use him in the ninth inning every time. They used him in seriously, you know, like mobile situations where they wanted to get him against 3, 4, 5, where they wanted to get him against those spots. And so like, I like the ability sometimes to use, even if you think Ursa's their best closer. And again, I'm not sure I would argue that one way or the other. I think it's probably close. He doesn't need to be out of the high leverage situation. He just had a bad night at the office. And good news is I don't have to feel that bad about it. Cause they still won. Good. He chose a good night to be bad. They still won the baseball game.
They absolutely did.
Also, all this got us. We didn't even talk. Chris Bubich shoved. We can talk about him more later. He went 7 shutout innings, and they don't even miss Brady Singer a little based on the way he started the season. Hell, he's been a improvement based on what they were getting out of the number 3-4 starter last year. So, yeah, I still feel terrible about the offense. I'm not going to try
course.
To sugarcoat that.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to another rumor involving a wide receiver that could be on the move come draft night, which is tomorrow in Green Bay. But what is Adam Schefter saying could happen at pick 31? This is Schefty talking about the Chiefs.
They're still trying to shore up the tackle position despite all that they've invested in it in recent years. A player like Josh Simmons from Ohio State would make a lot of sense to me going to Kansas City at the back end of round one.
Josh Simmons, another national name, saying that's
their guy,
who they believe.
He's just not hiding it well, if that's who he
either
really wants.
Either they did a great job bluffing every national media member in person they have connection with and telling him they love
Josh
Simmons.
Connerly.
Yeah. I mean,
this whole time.
One of the two is going to happen there. It sure seems like it. I mean, that name, more than any other name, has stood out. And everybody has acknowledged that's who they like.
Look, I do think that they want a tackle. I mean, what answers long-term do they have a tackle? They have a 2-year deal on Jalen Moore. You and I both know that's a 1-year deal. And they have a 1-year deal left on Juwan Taylor. They don't actually have a long-term tackle. 0 of them, to be clear. They only have a guaranteed 12 months of play, barring no injury, mind you, or they have to turn things over back to Wanye Morris. The reason why I'm convinced they'll take a tackle in the first 3 picks is, even if he's the developmental guy, he is the backup for Juwan Taylor, and he's the backup for, and he's the backup for Jalen Moore, and you get your ability to develop him slowly as you go there. I still am not convinced it's in the first round. Part of my reasoning is because I think Simmons is going higher, not because I don't think they want Simmons. I actually don't think they're hiding it well. I think they want Joshua Simmons. I think it is the only guy in the entire, like you had mentioned yesterday, and everybody has, it's true. It's hard to get a tackle at 31. Really hard to get a starting left tackle at 31. It's not a common spot. How do you get a starting left tackle at 31? You find the hurt guy. You find the guy who has reasons to get down to 31 that if everything were perfect and the scenario was ideal, he'd be going 11th. That's how you get him at 31. So their hope genuinely is that the guy fails just enough medicals to get to them.
Because of the issues with the O-line over the last 5 years, five different Super Bowls, five different left tackles, is this one of those unique circumstances? I'm curious from you guys and the text line and Chiefs fans, are you good with them taking a pick that you know is not going to contribute in 2025? I think in this circumstance, maybe I'm way off.
That's the one exception I'd make.
I think this year you could get more fans to buy it. And I'm not saying you should draft based off of what fans want, but I wonder if there's a little more acceptance to that versus in the past, you might have said, no, they have to draft somebody that's going to help them in 2025. Because the three-peat run is over and there's an understanding about what has happened for five straight Super Bowls with the left tackle position, I wonder if there's more of a understanding that you can wait a year to see the results, maybe, if it means that I'm going to get 4 years of starting left tackle play moving forward. By the way, that trade-off, I don't know how you would, if nobody can guarantee anything, but if you can tell me they're pretty darn confident.
I'd do it.
That the guy we're going to draft, he's not going to play this year, but we're going to get 4 years of a starting left tackle after this. If they deep down believe that, then it's 1,000% the correct pick.
You and I have done the show long enough. You know my stance on first round picks. 99.9% of the time is guy better start this year. Guy better be a contributor, right? Like a serious contributor right now. Even at pick 31, that guy needs to be like either heavy in the defensive line rotation, starting for you at guard, starting for you at safety, one of the important offensive weapons. Like, they need to be a valuable member of the team this year. Tackle's the one exception I'll make. Because if you get it right, I understand the logic of, well, we got to push it down. And this draft allows, this is the other part of it, Gold. This draft allows you, because you might find bona fide starters at second, third, and third round picks that can make up for what I'm missing in the first round pick, where you might find guys who can be a part of the defensive line rotation, be a part of the corner rotation, be valuable weapons at wide receiver or running back. Immediate contributor types are available in the second and third round. So like year/position means that if they take Joshua Simmons tomorrow at 31, I'm good. Even though normally that would be against my normal draft strategy, I'm okay.
I still, and maybe this is what it will take to get him. I don't, you know, trading up, giving up that extra third round pick to do it. Not a huge, huge fan, but I would say, again, if you deep down believe that you are finding a guy that's going to start for at least 4 years after the rookie year that he's going to sit out and redshirt, basically, then of course it's worth it. Someone was asking, what's the injury for Josh Simmons? In October, he hurt his knee in a game, first half of a game.
Torn ACL.
Torn patellar tendon in his left knee. That is the injury that otherwise, if he didn't have that, he'd be a top 15 pick.
Well, the update, I looked it up. The update is that he could be cleared for physical contact in August.
Yeah, which for the Chiefs, that, like, let him take his time.
Are we sure that he's not going to be ready just to go? Because he might be good enough.
The report today is that, and it's probably from his agent, that said he could be cleared by camp.
That's what I'm saying, is that if we, not that there's any debate about Jalen Moore, but.
There is debate on Jalen Moore. I think that's fair to say. Tons. Yeah, it's unknown.
If he's good to go in August and we know that he's healthy, why would he not have a shot at the job? Well, why would you even waste a... I think if he's ready to go and would have gone in the top 15, then give him every chance he has. And the question is,
yeah, the question is just his agent trying to prop his guy up the night before the draft here, or is that actually the case? Like, what do the Chiefs who brought him in for medicals, do they actually believe training camp is realistic or not?
By the way, it's not just compete against Jalen Moore. Let him try to beat out Jawan Taylor too. What's the difference here?
They're both
on 1 year deals. Try to let him beat both.
Yeah, Jawan Taylor will be right tackle. Week one.
Why couldn't you put him in the same competition, I guess?
Because I would say, what team in the NFL has a $20 million player sitting on the bench and not playing? I mean, that's the sad reality of it. Like, there's just what team does that?
I'd have to go digging. I'm sure it exists, but I don't have a good example. I'm sure it exists, but it's probably not a good example, and it's probably not often, Gold. I'm not here to try to claim that there's I got 45 names over the last 5 years in which a team eats that kind of money. And they aren't a regular contributor. Kirk Cousins on the Falcons is probably the only example I have right now. And it feels like he's probably going to
be on the Falcons.
So, they had him on the bench for a half a season last year, which is a slightly different scenario than
that's getting benched midseason, not heading into a season where they said, you know what? No, it's not your job. You're gonna make $20 million to sit your ass on the bench and you're not a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I get it. It at least makes some sense. I mean, we have to at least get to this because I'm assuming you guys were watching AAA last night.
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
Last night, Jack Caglione, who we were going to watch Saturday, May 3rd in Springfield, Missouri for the Cody and Gold Road Trip, went 3-for-4. He had a double, a single off of Clayton Kershaw. He also walked and got hit by a pitch. So, in his 6 plate appearances last night, he reached base 5 of 6 times, Gold. And Jack Caglione is now up to a .288 average, .367 on base, .515 slug. He has 20 RBIs in 16 games, 9 walks, and 18 Ks. The only stat right now you don't like is the strikeouts, because he'd be a pace to be a 200 strikeout guy in the major leagues just based on the fact he would do it. J.J. Piccolo on this show, and then we can tell you how, if you want to come on the road trip, you can. J.J. Piccolo on this show, I thought you and I read it the same way. He made it pretty clear. It was not what Jack does in AA. It is who he does it against. The fact that he got 2 hits off of the lefty of a generation last night, even in a rehab start, even at age 37 years old, I'll be honest, it stood out more than some of the other hits I've seen, because that was an absolute rope double off a lefty, and that lefty's name was Clayton Kershaw. And I know he's 37, but like, go to the stats last year. It's not like he was mediocre last year because he was hurt. The year before, he was like a Cy Young candidate. So like, he's not that far off from being Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, it was a cool moment. Cool moment going in when you found out the news that he was going to have an opportunity to go up against him. And, you know, the bats that J.J. Piccolo talked about a few weeks ago with us. At-bats, who's the pitcher? What's the situation? How does that go into it is more important than just the complete numbers that you look at. You just pop up and look, he's hitting .288. And you're like, okay, good enough. There's way more to that. Playing Clayton Kershaw and hitting the way he did and going up against him, yeah, that's impressive.
If you want to come see Jack Caglione play, Saturday, May 3rd, the Cody and Gold Road Trip. Tickets available at 96.5thefan.com. $10 right through the link, right on the homepage. This is the last call if you want to order the t-shirt and are going on the trip. The t-shirt are for the people who are going on the trip. You need a separate link to order the t-shirt. Just text us 913-586-7965. You got like 30 minutes to get the t-shirt order in, because then I'm going to place them in with the company, Raygun, so we can get everybody the shirts when we do it. You have to pick up the shirts in person in Springfield at Harbell's, H-A-R-B-E-L-L-S, from 3:30 to 5 before we go into the game. But if you're going down the trip, you need the link. I've already sent it to a couple people this morning. Let us know, 913-586-7965. We already have about, we're now like, if I'm rounding by just a couple of people, 130 people heading down to Springfield to watch Jack Caglione hit. So it's going to be an awesome time. If you guys want to come on the trip, more details up at 96.5thefan.com.
Do I sense that you guys are secretly rooting against him playing well?
I'd say rooting against. I don't need him going 4-for-5 every night for the next 9 games.
Like, just get on the road trip next week.
Would it be the worst thing of all time?
Just get on the road trip next week. That's all.
Yeah. I don't need him getting to Omaha. I'll say. I don't need him getting to Omaha in the next 10 days. I'm feeling good about it. History still on our side on that one, although he is hitting very well, and it stands out. He's a very good baseball player.
It's been a hell of a start to the show. You know, they need to change their closer, and because Cags had 2 hits off of Kershaw, he's now ready for the majors. It's a hell of a start to the show. I'm really enjoying it. I really am. Thank you. 913-586-7965. The text line is on fire today. Up next, let's talk about Jameson Williams, who could be on the move tomorrow night, and it's Kansas City linked to him. That's next. Coming up in 25 minutes, we'll get to the latest news around Kirk Cousins. According to Diana Rossini, who could be involved in a trade? Could we have a trade today or tomorrow involving Kirk Cousins that could shake up the draft a little bit, tell us how some teams are feeling about their current quarterback situation? But there's one player that could get moved that maybe is linked to Kansas City. We're talking about wide receiver Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions. He posted a cryptic message on social media. There's been some speculation in some NFL circles, according to CBS Sports, that the Lions could trade him, former first-round pick. This is his final year of his rookie deal. The Lions actually have to decide by May 1st if they're going to pick up his fifth-year option, which is why the trade rumors are being driven, because they haven't chosen to.
They want the other team to allow
that.
To do that. Yeah.
I mean, they have a week to make that decision. Williams then posted on social media, quote, stay sucker free, And so everybody,
what would you say if I posted that on X?
I would say, where the what are you doing?
If just like, just, you know, we're talking about like them trying to be like, I can't believe people want Estevez out of the closer role. Stay sucker free, you know. If I just posted that,
I would say, "Who are you trying to be?" I would say, "Who hacked your Twitter account?" But anyway, there's a couple teams rumored: the Bears in division trade, Raiders, Cowboys, Saints. There's even been some speculation: would Kansas City be interested? We mentioned the George Pickens stuff a day or two ago. My question with Jameson Williams: why would Kansas City fit here? He to me is similar to what they have in Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. And you're like, well, Hollywood Brown's only on a 1-year deal. So is Jameson Williams. Unless you pick up, you know, make the trade, pick up the 5th-year option. I guess you argue you would have two. He's a burner. He obviously has missed some games due to off the field issues. Him and I could host a betting show together. That'd be a lot of fun, but I don't think this is a good fit in Kansas City.
Probably not a good idea for him unless you guys are just doing like NBA futures.
Yeah.
Versus, I can't remember. He was betting outside the team facility, or was he betting on football? I don't remember which his story was.
That was like his rookie year, wasn't it?
Okay, so he does fit the mode of guy with not football trouble, off-field trouble. Again, as a reminder, I think the Chiefs like players, don't mind players. That's probably a better way of putting it. Don't mind players with off-field trouble. They don't like players who don't like football. There's a difference. They don't like players with on-field football trouble, off-field. Anyway, so the way I look at this is, it's a 1-year deal, and I view it very similar to George Pickens. As I told you the other day, for 1 year, I wouldn't mind seeing what the Chiefs' offense looks like at its maximum power. The appeal of this one, what would it honestly take to get Jameson Williams? A fourth? I mean, I think they're just going to be handing him away. I don't think he's going to get with it. If they're not picking up the 5th-year option, he's still expensive because he's in the 4th year of a rookie deal. If you want to pick up the 5th-year option, then he's really expensive. You got long-term answers at wide receiver and Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, probably, but no Travis Kelce next year. You pick up a 5th-year option, you got 3 guys going into next year. I actually don't kind of hate it because I can buy the 5th-year.
He's doing what he's going to play. You have Xavier Worthy. He'd be in the same spot as Worthy in terms of
what he brings to the table. Would you like this more than Pickens?
I guess because they both are candidates to be traded for a reason. One is a complete headache on the field and pouts when he doesn't get the football, but is far more talented. That's George Pickens. The other, Jameson Williams, not as talented as George Pickens, but I don't know if he's going to make a dumb decision off the field that's going to lead to a suspension. The Chiefs already have a wide receiver that might be suspended this year. So I'm good. I'm good on both. Thank you.
You don't need another player who's got... And look, Worthy stuff all went away, and obviously...
Yeah, I'm talking about Rice.
Yeah, no, I know. I was just saying, like, they don't have, like, every... I was just stating that, like, every player on the team's not going through something, at least, at the moment. And the Rice one is weird to me. Like, when Nate Taylor came in the other day, am I supposed to start thinking that the NFL just doesn't care about Rashee Rice's problem anymore? It's been a really long-ass time. He has zero criminal charges that I can find. It's going to be, like, June or July before his civil part states, if he doesn't sort it out or settle it before then. I don't know, man. I think you should be more on board with this one. This is like Pickens, but without the on-field trouble, right? Like, Pickens has trouble, but he's the, like, you know, he has the report of, like, throwing up his hands or quitting on his team or whatever. That's not Jameson Williams' rap. His is that he got in trouble for betting in a way he wasn't supposed to, and the injury stuff that was coming into the league a little bit. Don't you want to see what the Chiefs look like with, like, 4 weapons 1 year? And this is a low-cost weapon. If it cost me a first-round pick, we're just having a different conversation. And some of the Rashee Rice stuff I told you is dependent on what percentage chance the Chiefs think he's getting a long-term extension. Buy myself time with Jameson, you know, like I can finagle it. And how big of a leap do they think Xavier Worthy's taking in year two? He's like a 700-yard receiver or 650 last year in the regular season.
Yeah.
Excellent in the postseason, obviously, across the board. Like, some of it is like that big of a leap. My guess is that the Chiefs are not going to be in the market. But the Lions... Is this like...
There's no way they trade him to the Bears
division. No, but that I think they have to make some heady moves. I think if the Lions want to stretch this thing out for a long time with Jared Goff and then eventually whatever quarterback they draft after it, I do think that they're in the spot now, like, it can't be all in every year. If you try not to be a laughingstock or go back to a laughingstock 2-3 years from now, it's time to start making difficult decisions for the long-term health of your future. I actually think that that's the wise thing for the Lions to go about it. You know, why not trade him to the Lions? I don't know. Teams do this. Or to the Bears.
Why not? I would just be surprised. Even though more teams should be willing to trade in division, you know, teams are always fearful of doing that for more optics than anything else. But these are, you know, that division has done it more than any other division, Right? The Vikings and Lions made a trade for TJ, you know, involving TJ Hockenson. That worked out pretty darn well for both parties involved. The Lions have Sam LaPorta now, and I think TJ Hockenson has been pretty darn good, even though he had an ACL injury for Minnesota. So that division has been willing to do it more than some others. So that's a name, and tomorrow we'll go through a bunch. Jameson Williams is one of the names to watch today and tomorrow, not necessarily to the Chiefs, but to get traded on draft day. I guess it could be a day two draft trade too, because it's not like you're involving a first round pick with Jameson Williams. So maybe it's this Friday night trade or Saturday trade.
The earliest? Does that seem like the highest you could possibly get for him on the market right now?
I would be shocked if you could even get a third.
Me too.
Right?
Me too. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Highest, like maybe like you get a third, but you give a fourth back or you give a fifth back or, mm-hmm. you know, like the value chart, which we can look at tomorrow for the Chiefs, but there aren't that many wide receivers. So if I need a wide receiver and I was unsure on Igbuka or Tet or Burden or any of these guys where it seems like there's kind of a lot of question marks for each individual wide receiver, nobody seems to want to admit who is the number one guy on their board, and it seems to be a lot of variance.
Yeah.
If you're not sure, Jameson Williams, former first-round pick, that's the other thing that always intrigues me with Brett Veach. Why I always make them a player is he's done it like five or six times. He loves former first-round picks that didn't work out with the previous team. It's like one of the things he did. Yeah, it's like when he talks about trading up. He's more likely to trade up, and if he's trading for a player, he likes him to previously been a high draft pick that now he gets to work with. Whether it be Kadarius Toney in a previous year, or in this case, Jameson Williams. Toney was a first-round pick, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, by the Giants.
That was a whiff.
You think?
Yeah. That was
still a little bit.
That was a bit of a whiff. It's the Giants whiff, though.
See, that's the thing. Sometimes it's Giants whiff, not everybody else's whiff.
Sometimes I get accused of saying that too soon on a player, so I just want to be clear. I think we've had enough time to know for sure. I don't think it's going to work out for Kadarius Toney. Just hypothetically. You want to talk way too early? The text line is on getting Jack Caglione to the bigs, getting Carlos Estevez out of the closer spot. They're ready to make moves.
Mm-hmm.
How about ESPN.com putting out their insider list of the way too early trade predictions for every single MLB team?
Yep.
So in this case, they're guessing if they think you're going to trade for or against other possibilities. So, like, in the Detroit Tigers case, because they've had a good start to the season, they've got them trading for a number of players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus trading against. The Royals, you want to talk about the hedge of all hedges? Whoo! This is who they... Does anybody want to take a guess? Drew, you got a guess for who you think they're suggesting?
Who they're trading away or trade for?
I'll just give you a hint. Based on the fact that they started a little bit slow, this article came out, they are trading someone away in their hypothetical... Far too, wow. As in it's April 23rd. The idea of talking trade at all seems kind of crazy.
I mean, if the season were to go south, there's a couple names that would be obvious later in the year if they were in that position. Guys that are veterans with control or, you know, a couple years of on their contracts. So you're talking about, and they wouldn't do it this early, but you're talking about the Lugos, the Lorenzens, the maybe even Carlos. There's veteran players. So nice. It's a vet.
Not bad on that. It is a vet. It is Michael Lorenzen.
Okay.
Considering the Royals out of nowhere playoff season, it wouldn't be necessarily a surprise, it says, to have them take a step back. But it looks like they're going to need some offense. If the lineup doesn't come around, teams will certainly inquire about Seth Lugo or some of the relievers, but Lorenzen would be most likely to be traded. Weirdly enough, the Michael Lorenzen trade, the reason why I brought this up, even though you and I would not normally discuss trades, is that if it came down to that later, it would be a way to get a bat. And you have coverage. The Royals have two starters pitching well in the minor leagues. They still have Kyle Wright, as you had previously mentioned, and Alec Marsh.
He's on IL.
They might be able to cover a Lorenzen if that were to take place later in the season in a way that if there was a team who was willing to part for that for the, you know, how this works, the outfield bat who's can play 70% of the time that's got some pop. This is
but
probably
way
the
early
most
for that.
Oh,
even.
I want to see him hit.
The Royals aren't
just,
training.
I'm bringing
their,
it up because it was brought up on ESPN.com.
The Royals aren't training their fifth starter in the first week of May.
That'd be crazy.
On a team that currently is still .500.
If they traded Lorenzen straight up for a corner outfielder, like an okay corner outfielder, you know what level I'm talking about. He's an okay starter. Let's say it's an okay corner outfielder. And they just said Alec Marsh is healthy. He's going to be the fifth starter now. You good?
They would have to.
I don't think they do it May 1st. I'm just asking, would you be good if they did?
Yeah, they would have to feel confident that Alec Marsh could come back and give them what you expect out of a fifth starter. That's the only way I would be willing to do
it.
What if
it was one of the minor league guys?
The thing that you're making, what's dicey about it is you're also banking on year one through three, one for four, I guess, staying healthy in the rotation, right? We discussed that heading of the year.
Oh, for sure.
They had great injury luck and health last year, and this year you're probably not going to have the same luck on the injury front in pitching. And so you do that and you become thinner, and then you all of a sudden you have one other injury, and then you're like, well, shoot, it would be sure nice if we had a, you know, that would be the question. Now, later in the year, if the team is within striking distance and they feel great, Alec Marsh is pitching well in AAA or whatever it may be, or you mentioned Kyle Wright at some point could be an option, then yeah, you got to trade away something maybe to get it. I think you'd be more willing to do that than giving away a prospect or something at that point.
It's very tempting. It'd be very tempting to me because the coverage between the two guys we already mentioned, but then Noah Camara's made four starts down there, has pitched 20 innings and has started well. Avila's been off to a good start, has pitched well. Like, so they've got, like, I'd be tempted, not in May, but June 1st, if I was still, you know, like a month before the trade deadline, is I'm like the earliest team on the market. If these guys continue to pitch well in the minors, it is probably the most logical one on paper today. Things change, things move, your team's record, a million other things. But there is, like, I think there's a, like, in the early view of it, it makes the most sense of any of the available options. Somebody's now asking, said, I'm glad they sent MJ down. Just want to see if Waters can keep going. Look, Waters was hot in AAA, so we can hope. MJ did not have a good day in his first day in AAA, but give it some time. He went 1-for-6 with 3 Ks. And the same thing as rooting for is before. I hope MJ Melendez hits 500 in AAA. I hope Drew Waters continues to hit too, so that they're not forced into a decision between their, because the fear, truthfully, and you agree, is that they get stuck between a decision between, do we trade pitching for hitting, thus weakening the true strength of this team? Do we have to rob ourselves in order to do it versus just count on the people we have in the system to hit? That's what I don't want to happen.
The other part of this equation too, and this is why it's tough when it's this early, is you can say, I'm willing to trade X player to go get an outfielder. Okay, well, give me a name. What team is going to be willing to actually make that trade? Way too early to tell.
I don't even.
And also, the Royals, given how they how the Royals have performed, I mean, you also have to see in 3 weeks, are they still in 2-3 games under 500? Are they 8 games under 500? Are they 5 games above 500? Like, where are they at as an organization? I mean, if the thing really were to go south over the next 2 weeks, the 25 game stretch that we talked about, if it ends up putting them further behind, then there's multiple names that come up. But the reverse could also happen. So that's just way too early to tell. Like, anybody telling you that they're sellers or buyers on April 23rd, that's crazy.
What do you think is the draft equivalent of the conversations we've been stuck in baseball-wise? What's the either draft or Chiefs equivalent of call Jack Caglione up or, you know, because for a while we might have thought it was start Tooney at left tackle. I'll be honest. There was a stretch that might have been, like, I thought it was kind of crazy to put Joe Tooney at left tackle. And look, in the end,
they did.
Yeah. It worked until the end. I'm trying to think. It's got to be like trading up for Jenty in my brain or something. You know what? They should trade into the top 10 and take Mimbo. Is that the equivalency?
No, because that one's not even. Yeah, I mean, it just the conversation right now, I mean, other than the Carlos thing from earlier, the Jack stuff, everybody's excited. That's why we're doing the road trip.
Oh,
he's
hell yeah.
Going to get awesome called time. Up at some point, but I still, every single night that he gets hits, we're going to act like he should be in the big leagues. That way we're going to do this for the next 2.5 months.
He was 1-for-16 in a stretch or 1-for-20.
Like, is this what we're going to do?
Yeah, probably.
Every freaking day.
Do you not remember what it's like to have, like,
oh my goodness,
this is what it was like with Bobby. Like, and then there was the flip side.
Yeah, but the other problem is, like, at least when Bobby was coming up, like, he truly was viewed as the savior, and he is. Caglione is, I think Vern put it well. He's like, if Caglione gets called up this year at some point for the big leagues, he's not the savior. He's an added weapon. Like, Cags is not coming up and carrying the offense to the playoffs.
I don't want him to feel that.
That's not the role he's going to have in 2025. Now, in 2026, can he be part of that and be that dude? Sure. But, like, I guess that's where I'm trying to figure out. Like, what is everybody's expectation? Let's say he gets called up and it's July 25th and they're 4 games out of a playoff spot. Are you expecting him to be the added weapon? I would be. Are you expecting him to suddenly just carry the offense for 2 months as a rookie? No.
No, I want him to hit like 250 and hit a homer a couple times a week.
Sure.
Like, you want to know the truth? That's what I want. I want him to hit like home runs pretty regularly, and I want him to hit sixth and hit 250 and get on base at like 315 is probably what I would take in his rookie year. But do I want him to be the savior of the offense? No. Honestly, it's a dangerous sign if you start thinking about him that way, because that's asking too much. Don't forget, go to 96.5thefan.com to look at those tickets. They're $10. You'll see them right on the website. You buy them through there. They're $10 because of the ticket deal we've got with the Cardinals. We're going to watch Caglione on May 3rd. And you got about 10 minutes to order the t-shirts. So if you want the shirt to go with it, which is optional, by the way, and you need the link, 913-586-7965. I will send you the t-shirt order form. You have to pick them up in Springfield at Harbell's from 3:30 to 5. We will hand them out there. I can text you the email or the shirt order form if you want to do it. Right now, we got like 130 people going. And I think like 100 shirts or something that we'll probably order at least. So if you just want to be sitting with us, I think we're all in section like K and J, and there's like one of them next
behind,
to it.
Any of them behind the third base dugout.
We're going to cause a scene. Honestly, this will feel nice. For all the time in my life that I had to go to a Kauffman Stadium and watch Cardinals fans take over Kauffman, I want us to be disruptive to a Cardinals game of some kind. This is our chance to be disruptive to a Cardinals game. Maybe it's not in St. Louis. We're just going down to Springfield. But same rules apply, right, Colt? We get to be disruptive as Royals fans against Cardinals fans in their building. I looked up capacity. I looked up average attendance. Average attendance for them is like 4,000. I think with like 150 people at least, we can, like, you're going to see the blue. We're going to be felt in the stadium, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, when he steps in the batter's box for the first time, that'll be fun.
Stay sucker free.
Is that going to be a shirt that you wear as well? You're going to have that on the back of yours.
Do you want me to try to order one of those with the CAG shirts
yours
from Reagan?
Is say that
if
as
the
well.
Chiefs trade for Jameson Williams, I feel like we have to actually get a t-shirt made.
just for that moment.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We can ask him to get some shirts made that say keep sucka free. You know?
Or stay sucka free. Yeah.
Sorry.
I think it was.
You know, a little bit of both.
You've been on fire today, Cody.
That's a stupid take, and you're a stupid person. Sorry, I was mad. I get a little fired up about baseball sometimes and football and other sports because, I don't know, it just feels like the argument I've had to have with every person for like 2 weeks in a row. I'm like, I'm tired of it. I'm tired.
You and Gold both are on fire this first hour.
Are we salty today? Are we a little spicy?
I'm just very, very annoyed with the same conversation I feel like history is repeating itself. One bad outing from somebody and now he needs to be replaced. And it's just,
That kind of stuff drives me crazy.
That's all.
You have commonly said that. Because, like, you think that I give up on players too soon sometimes, like in the NFL.
I
tend to be patient too.
And maybe I'm too patient with some players, and that's fine. But, like, I'll tell you what, I feel pretty darn confident saying that Carlos Estevez has been one of the better relievers in all of baseball, and then last night was awful. It doesn't mean that he needs to lose his job. And when people text that in, yes, it does annoy me. It drives me crazy.
Isn't it crazy? He had pitched 9 games and had a 0.91 ERA going into that game, and now we're like, the walks are a concern. He's walking too many people. Agreed. But last night, because somebody statted his walk rate today. He's like, well, this walk rate, which is the highest in his career, is concerning. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I went ahead and looked it up after 9 games. It wasn't a career high in walk rate. Sure, when you only have 10 innings to your name and then you walk 3 guys last night, you're at a career high walk rate 10 games into the season. You know, like it's, I'm not saying the walks aren't bad, but it's just like, it's a balance. That's all.
People are warning you, Cody, that you are going to go to jail in Greene County. That's not a fun place you want to go. Wrong jail. Wrong jail to go to if you're going to be rowdy in Springfield. It's not a good one.
It's going to be rowdy. You said you were going to have fun.
I know you said
our presence felt.
Mm-hmm.
You suggested that there's going to be not.
You said you're going to make a, what do you say, make a scene?
Yeah,
I think what he said. That could mean a lot of things, though.
Yeah,
that could be
true.
A bunch of different.
I didn't say obscene. Those are different.
All right, coming up next, though, let's talk about the latest rumor around the draft. Could we see a veteran quarterback on the move today or tomorrow, and where? That's next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.